your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to back up from a couple Sundays ago. I really appreciate it, guys. I really do. Next month will be 20 years for me as being pastor here. 20 years next month. And 20 years ago is a time that I don't talk about much. We had a pretty rough time here. God brought us through it. I didn't think it would happen. God brought us through it. We're still here. And if I can get some rest, if I can get a nap today, I'll be ready for another 20. Okay? So anyway, I love you guys. I do. I fell in love with the Gainesville Lily Ridge Church this week. Okay? But they ain't you, okay? And they never will be. God has them doing something different down there, and I loved it. So you just pray for them and pray that God will bless them as well, all right? Two Sundays ago, I kind of showed you from the Bible, been teaching on the human soul, and God had shown me this. God had shown me that in thought. Several years ago, thoughts are one thing, Bible verses are another. And then I just kind of made a little note of it, and sure enough, one day I was reading scriptures, and boy, there it was. I mean, just right there. And I rejoiced in that. God is so faithful, and I thank God for Him. But this morning, I'm going to kind of go back a little bit and just kind of cover what we learned about the human soul, that it is, in fact, characterized in the Bible. And again, God is peeling back layers of things so that we can see it. Even if we don't fully comprehend it, God will show it to us in time to come. We'll know one of these days even as we are known, the Bible says. Okay? And so anyway, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, it kind of makes sense out of some things that we read in the Bible. Because all through the Bible, you'll see women who are characters in the Bible, and they are types of the church. Okay? People like Eve, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel. You can just go through, pick these women in the Bible that God used. Ruth, Naomi. They are pictures of the church, either Gentile or Israel. Ruth and Naomi is a picture of the Gentile church giving blessing to Israel. Naomi is the Jews who have lost their inheritance and can't get it, but by the marriage of the kinsman redeemer to Ruth, who is a Gentile bride, and that's who this church is. So one of these days, God is going to use the Gentiles to bring forth the blessing to Israel once again. That's God's plan. And I see that very clearly. The types and the shadows all through the Bible, I see it very clearly. But having that understanding that what's in us, that soul that we possess, God made it as, I guess, in the female realm. Is it somehow different because it's the soul and a spiritual entity than it is the physical? Maybe so, but we still have that knowledge that that's what God called it. Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now we know the church is the body of all of those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Male or female. Doesn't matter who we are on the outside. We know that on the inside, Christ is betrothed to us. And one of these days, we will be joined with Him, although not in this flesh body that you and I have. Okay? But everybody here, whether you're male or female on the outside, your soul characterized in the Bible as a woman. Isaiah 62:5, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. There God is saying that He's the bridegroom, and He rejoices over us who is His bride. That makes us a woman. And not just this church. Gainesville Church, all the saints down there, all the saints in all the churches that I've been in Kenya, different places in Africa, places in Europe. I got a response from a man this morning on Facebook that is in, I want to say Denmark. And he was praying for me. He said, "Pastor, we're praying for you. Looking forward to seeing you and hearing you here in a little bit." And so we got a family in Denmark that's watching and praying for us this morning. And I appreciate that. They are part of that church. They are thus the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, from that point, Romans chapter 7, turn there. You turn there, and I'm going to pray for a little bit. We're going to end up in Proverbs chapter 8. And so if you want to kind of flip over there, that's where we're going next. Because if you've ever read Proverbs and read through Proverbs, you know that I'll tell the testimony here in a little bit if I can remember it, all right? Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Let's read this, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man, so long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband, bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." Now Paul's going to tell you what this means. "So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Verse 4 now, he's going to tell us this applies to us. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another." Ye. And he says, brethren. Brethren on the outside, the sisters on the inside. We are, one of these days, going to be loosed from the bonds of this flesh. Amen. And everything that stands against God in our flesh, our soul is going to be loose from that. It's going to be freed from that when this body dies. Then, and only then, will we be qualified to be joined with Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's when it's going to happen. To be absent from the body is what? Be present with the Lord. "That you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Now, Psalm chapter 34. You see it plainly there. Verse 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." Right there, it's telling you that your soul is her. It's a she. It's a female. It's a woman. It's the bride. It's the church. "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." Even that word soul, if you go to Hebrew, and I don't, you know, Hebrew's interesting to me. I don't use it to change the Bible, but it just kind of, in some cases, it can bring clarity. It's a feminine noun. That word soul in Hebrew, nephesh, is a feminine noun. That was even written that way as David wrote it, inspired by the Holy Ghost. Psalm 22:20, "Deliver my soul from the darling from the power of the dog." He says it again in Psalm 35:17, "My darling from the lions," and he equates it with the soul. Again, that darling means dear one. It means only one, and it's a feminine noun. So with this understanding now, take that then. We didn't pray. We gotta pray. If God don't come in here and help me out, this will be a mess. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, I've needed your help before in times past. And Lord, I know, God, that I ought not get behind the pulpit ever, but what I have help from your word and help from heaven, Lord, I need it today. Lord, my body is tired. My mind is tired. Lord, my body aches. Lord, it's just fighting, Lord, to just go sit down, lay down, or whatever, God. My mind, Lord, is tired, and it's just, sometimes, Lord, I don't think I'm making good sense. So, Lord, I'm weak today. Lord, I thank you, God, first of all, for a church that understands that. I'm not Superman. I'm not super Christian. I'm not the one who's always up on the clouds and looking down on everybody. Lord, there are undoubtedly, Lord, there's people in this room, in this congregation, that are far better off than me, physically, emotionally, maybe spiritually. But Lord, there may be somebody here today, maybe somebody watching online, Lord, that probably feels about like I do. And Lord, they may have just thought, maybe, I ain't going, I ain't going to listen to church, I don't feel good, not going to do it today. Lord, I just want to encourage them. Lord, I want you to be a blessing to them. Lord, I want you, Lord, to stand in strength while I stand in weakness today. And Lord, to be honest with you and to be honest with those that are here and those that are listening, I'd rather it be that way than any way. I'd rather, Lord, that I decrease and that you be magnified and increase. Father, Lord, for those people, Lord, that I ministered to last week, I pray, dear God, Lord, that they now see their Bible in a brand new way. God, that they'll be eager to study your word. God, have just given them, planted some seeds, Lord, in their mind, in their heart, God. Now as they study the Bible, Lord, they'll see things they never saw before. Lord, give them interest in it. Lord, it'll give them a mind to study like you've given me. God, I thank you for that, and I pray that you'd bless them this morning. Father, help me to preach today. Help me to make some sense to these people. Help me, Lord, to say one thing to somebody, Lord, that'll make a difference in their life and give them help from heaven this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Song of Solomon. I want to encourage you to read Song of Solomon now, because Song of Solomon is interesting. It goes back and forth. Solomon wrote it like a love poem, and sometimes the bridegroom is speaking, sometimes the bride is speaking. And here, if you think about it now with this idea of your soul being that bridegroom or that bride, verse 2, let me kiss him with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. How many of you ever drank wine? Don't smile, Roy. Listen, the day, Roy, that your soul leaves your wretched body and is joined with Jesus Christ, you will say, this is better than any wine I've ever had in my life. I'll never forget, I spent one semester at Free Will Baptist Bible College in Nashville, Tennessee. And they had all the preacher guys, we had to go and do Christian service every week. And I joined up with a group. We went to the downtown Nashville city jail. Rough fellas. And they'd lead us in and to a room, and the warden would walk through and say, church service! And anybody that wanted out of the cell came. Well, you have a captive audience when you're preaching in a jail cell. Okay? They ain't going anywhere. They probably just got out just to get out of the cell they were in. So we was in the lunchroom. Fellow was preaching. I was sitting next to this guy. He was a black man. I was sitting next to him, praying for him as the preacher was preaching, and he gave an invitation. And I turned and I looked at that man and I said, let me ask you a question. I said, did you listen to what the preacher said? And he said, yeah. I said, how'd you like to have your sins forgiven? He said, I think I'd like that. So I showed him in the Bible how he could be saved and how he could call on the name of the Lord. And I prayed with him and I led him through the prayer. And he prayed the prayer. And when he raised his head up, he was wiping tears from his eyes. And I said, praise the Lord. I said, how do you feel? He said, that feels better than a shot of whiskey. And I just went, it's probably all the man has ever known, you know, is a shot of whiskey here and there. And I said, that's the Holy Spirit. God just relieved the burden off you and just gave you a feeling you've never had before. And he said, man, I like it. Got talking to him a little bit. I said, by the way, what are you in here for? He said, murder. So I kind of scooted over a little bit. No, I didn't. Listen, God will save anybody. Amen. I don't know what happened to that man after that. I pray that God was faithful to him all the days of his life. Amen. Okay. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. Verse 2. And in the broadways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go till I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. That is your soul, people. That is your response to looking for Jesus. Amen? I'm not going to let him go. I'm not going to let him go. Now that I've found him, now that I know that he's mine, that I'm his, I'm not going to let him go. Somebody say amen. Now watch this. I'll turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Let's just do a little Bible study this morning. Hopefully this will help you this morning. Several years ago, I'm going to tell you my testimony. Several years ago, again, I was just going through a rough time. And I just was just kind of praying and seeking the Lord and asking for help. And the Holy Ghost told me to read Proverbs all the way through. So I did. I sat down, read it. Took me a little while, and I got through it. And when I got done, I said, okay, God, now what? And God said, read it again. So I did. I went back and read it again. Got done. And I said, okay, what are you trying to show me? God said, read it again. I read it again. This time now I'm seeing what he's showing me. In Proverbs, there's two women mentioned in there. Two women. One good, one bad. One to be embraced, one to be avoided. There is a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 says it. Who can find a virtuous woman? For a prize is far above rubies. Ladies, there is a beautiful application for you in Proverbs 31. Go read it. If you struggle with certain issues in there, that's normal. Every woman does. But I would say to all, also you men, you go read it. Because that's your soul. By the way, your husband should be the pride of your soul. My soul made her boast in the Lord, the Bible says. Okay? That means you ought not be afraid to tell people, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, no other. Amen? So Proverbs starts out by telling you to keep the law keep the teachings of your father and the law of your mother. Starts out teaching you about this virtuous woman in the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 8, first time I read this, I'm going, Lord, what in the world are you saying? What are you getting at? What is it that you're teaching? So look at now that you understand this. Proverbs 8, here's my spin on it. Proverbs 8 is a soul that is inhabited by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God in your soul gives you knowledge and wisdom that you never had outside of being part of God's people. Does that make sense to everybody? Nod your head or shake your head. One of the two. Help me out here, okay? So let's read that and keep that in mind. Doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth what? Her voice. Her voice. Your soul being inhabited and possessed by the Holy Spirit. Remember what the seven spirits of God are. One of them is the spirit of wisdom. If you are saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit, God gives you a wisdom that this world cannot comprehend. They're always going to be on the outside looking in. They do not understand us. Therefore, they mock us and laugh at us and scorn us because they do not understand us. Amen? They don't get it. Understand? Put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a couple applications here. Number one, this is a born-again believer whose soul possesses the wisdom of God. And once you have it, you don't have a problem giving it out to people as they go by. Number two, that is this church. And we should not have a problem giving out the wisdom that God has given us in the paths as people go by us. When people come in here just to visit, I hope that they hear something that they've never heard before and that they know that it came from God. Somebody say amen. Amen. By the way, this whole idea of taking what God has given us and proclaiming it, remember what Jesus said, what I speak in your ear, you proclaim from the rooftops. Name the doctrines that we have here that we cannot share with people on the outside. They don't exist. We don't have secret enclosed meetings like the Mormons and their temple up here by Missouri Baptist. We don't have a big ceremony that nobody can come into and watch and hear what's going on. We don't believe in that nonsense. Everything that we do, everything that we are, everything that we receive from God, both good and bad, we ought to be willing to share with people on the outside of this place. And I told those people at Gainesville Friday night, do not be afraid of letting your lost family members and your lost co-workers and the people, your neighbors that live around you, know and understand that you are not perfect. You never will be. You do things wrong. You do make mistakes. God is the one who's going to lift you out of it. And if you have any message to the people around that you care about, it is that you don't think that you're better than they are. That'll win lost people to Jesus. That'll bring in the meth heads. Amen? The whoremongers and the drunkards. By not making everybody feel like we're better than they are, bless God, we have our King James Bible, we have our doctrine, and we're just high living up here, and boy, if you could come up here, if you could just be like us. That's not the message. The message is wisdom. Wisdom will tell you, admit the mistakes that you make. Amen? Wisdom will tell you to man up on faults that you have, things that ain't right. Wisdom will tell you, wisdom's telling me to tell you, I ain't feeling good today. I'm about 10 minutes away from going sitting down, and I'm not going to feel like that forever, but I feel like that today. Can you handle it? Wisdom will tell you that, okay? So watch this. Verse 4. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Now watch this. Here is wisdom now, your soul, speaking to your flesh. Here's your soul speaking to your flesh. Okay? Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye an understanding heart. Who's a fool here? You're a fool if you've done foolish things. Amen? You're a fool if you've done stupid things that you shouldn't have done. Public things you shouldn't have done in public. Amen? Okay? Watch this now. Verse 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Let me show you how this works. Here you are, you're just kind of wandering around, and all of a sudden, the devil sends a temptation your way, however he does it. You know what's going on? The Holy Ghost and your soul are speaking together to your flesh saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't say that. Okay? Don't go there. Don't be around these people. Don't do it. Look at that. Look at that. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. That's the Holy Spirit in your soul telling your flesh, don't do it. It's going to turn out bad. If you listen to me, let me ask you a question. Your flesh is rotten. Is that correct? Is not God going to give you a new one? But only if you listen to the Holy Spirit and your soul speaking to your flesh saying, get up and go to church. Get your Bible out and read it. You need to fall on your face before God and repent. You need to pray for a while. Only if you can tell your flesh, get away from there. Uh-oh, you need to repent of that. Uh-oh, it's time to get your Bible out. And your flesh is going, I don't want to read the Bible. Amen? I don't want to preach. Telling you. Okay, that's how it is. Now watch this. Verse 7. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Your soul will never say the things that your flesh says. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Think about your Bible. Your soul knows the Word of God. And your soul speaks those things that are right. It'll never tell you. Now watch this. Unless you're lost. Unless you're lost. Unless your soul has been corrupted. If your soul has been corrupted, then your soul then is that strange woman mentioned in the book of Proverbs. I encourage you to go read that. Because you know what your flesh will do? Your flesh will say, boy, I feel like going to the disco tonight. Doing a little boogie-woogie. That dates me, doesn't it? And your soul says, oh, yeah, let's go do it. Okay? Unless your soul is a daughter of Babylon. If your soul is a daughter of Babylon, there's no hope for you. I'm sorry. Okay? But anyway, let's get back to the scripture. Verse 9. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and write to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver. Think about it. What do our eyes latch on to? Remember what Jeff Foxworthy said about rednecks? They love shiny things. Don't we? Silver and gold and speckled bass boats and stuff like that. Amen? Bling on our phones. Right? We like silver and we like gold. The problem is our soul has no need for it. Doesn't do us a bit of good in the soul. And you may end up like Donald Trump. You may have billions of dollars to spend on a presidential campaign or whatever it is you want to spend it on. You may have that. When Donald Trump makes his last breath on this earth, everything he has is going to be gone, taken from him. So look at that again. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. Now remember in Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above what? Rubies. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now I want to make an example. Okay? There are times when my wife says things to me that I don't like. But I promised her a long time ago I would listen to her. And she says things to me, and I made an agreement. If I don't say anything, let it go. I'm letting it sink in. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to see what God says about that. And if you're right, God will show it to me. And so she knows that. She said things to me. We dealt with a guy about 10, 12 years ago, and immediately she said, better stay away from that guy. And I went, he's not going to hurt anything. She said, I'm just telling you, I don't like the man. If something ain't right about him, you better stay away from him. You know what I did, Ryan? I didn't listen to her. You know what he did? He shafted me. Okay? She was right. She was right. So here's what I've tried to do over the years. I'm not saying I do it all the time. But she'll say things to me that I need to listen to, but I don't want to because it didn't come from me. That's pride. Right? But then if I just stop and pray about it, think about it. God gave her to me to tell me things that'll help me in life, to tell me things that'll help me in the ministry, that'll tell me things. Now, Dave Bradley always teases me and her, and he always asks me, did Lisa get done writing your sermons? Okay? And I'm going to be honest with you. I wish she'd have wrote one last night, because I probably would have preached it. Okay? She has never written any of my sermons, ever. I even asked her this week, because you're preaching out in Gainesville. I said, what do you think I'll preach tonight? I don't know what to preach tonight. And she said, I don't know. So she's never done that to me. But I want to tell you something. God has used her to give me a profound wisdom that I would have. See, God said it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him. And she has said things to me that stuck me. But then I realized, she's right. And God has saved me numerous times because he gave her a wisdom that he didn't give me but by her. Okay? Now I'm done bragging on my wife. Now let me tell you how this works in you. The Holy Spirit is always going to work through your soul. And your soul on the inside of you is going to tell you things. You listen to this and you don't do this and you stay away from this and you need to do this. And your flesh is going to buck against it every single stinking time. Amen? The older you get, the wiser you get, and you realize that the things that the Holy Ghost was telling you through your soul was right all along, and you wish you would have listened a long, long time ago. It would have saved you out of a lot of heartache and grief. God is desperately trying to redeem your flesh body. And he will if you will listen to the Holy Spirit through your soul. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? I got some. Let me show you that verse up on screen, and I'm going to quit. I'm going to go lay down. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. You see it now? There it is in black and white, plain as day. That wisdom that is being spoke of in Proverbs 8 is coming through your soul. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all that hate me love death. If you will not listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying to you through your soul, you love death and you hate your own soul. You're damning your own soul to eternal damnation in the lake of fire. That's what you're doing. So why don't you listen to the wisdom that God is speaking into your soul? What? Because God wants to redeem your flesh. He'll give you a new body and he'll give it glory for all of eternity. But you got to listen. Because God's going to deal with her, and then she's going to speak to you. And you better listen. Amen?